Will you penetrate Section Z and defeat the Balangul Empire? You control the future of planet Earth. Welcome to Nestalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
Guys, I gotta be honest with you, I don't know if I said the name of that empire correctly, and you guys know my track record for that, so anybody have any ideas? Balangul? Balangul?
See, the thing is that this is a made-up word, so you can say it any way you want.
Yeah, and this one I think is very forgivable to say it wrong.
In a game where the big boss at the end is named L Brain. Like the letter L.
No, okay.
Which is weird because, you know, in this game you're going through, like, the alphabet, I guess, and then, like, the final boss tends to not be Z-Brain. You would think it would be, like, the final, or a new letter.
Oh, wow.
Just
that's
a new
they,
letter
that's
shows
introduce
up.
A new letter.
All right, guys. We're talking about Section Z, which is another Capcom game. So I thought it'd be kind of funny if first we just gave Capcom, like, a report card. You know, like kind of how they're doing right now.
Can we do a quick recap of what
yeah,
they've done?
Yeah, absolutely. So as of right now, Capcom has given us 1942, Commando, Ghost and Goblins, and Trojan. Now, don't include Section Z, but what is your grade of Capcom like at this very moment? I am inclined to give them an A.
Oh, really?
I think like if I'm looking at it, you know, like Ghost and Goblins and Trojan are great. 1942 is fun for me. And Commando, with its flaws, was still like unique enough. Like if those are the four, you know, the four games, I'm taking them over Data East.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah, you can put them over Data East all you want, but I'm still gonna put them on the cusp here. I think they're a C plus for me right now.
C plus.
So I think I'm actually kind of in between there. But for me, I haven't played Trojan.
Reasonable Joe. There we go.
That's what they call me.
You haven't played Trojan, huh?
I didn't play Trojan.
It's very
I do
Ghost
plan
and
on
Goblins like. I feel like you might like it.
I do plan on playing it before our Best of 87 episode. But,
yes.
But I wasn't on that episode.
But really,
1942 is what brings it down a little bit for
no,
me.
Yeah, but
know?
No. The only game that brings it up for me from like a failing like D is Ghosts and Goblins.
Right. And I do remember I was kind of a little, even though I saw the flaws, like somehow I was just having a lot of fun with Commando. So I liked Commando.
I think that they're making fun games for the time period. I'm saying like, yes, looking back on it now, like it's easy to be like, wow, those games sucked. What were they thinking? I'm talking about like in the scope of what's been released.
So the opposite of the essential games list.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. The essential games list holds some merit also on like how good the games were though.
Yeah.
They're still going to be good. Bad games will always be bad. Good games can become bad. That's
true.
Kind of a scary thought. But I guess you could kind of say the same about movies, right? Like some movies just haven't aged well, and they used to be classics, and now it's like, I just don't really want to watch that.
Yeah, like you remember Cats vs. Dogs? That was a classic.
That was a go-to for
you? Remember that. Wow.
That I'm was just like
it really depends like on yeah, it depends on when memory. You were born. Like the 90s had a lot of like family-friendly movies that like if you were a 90s kid, you just grew up with those movies and assumed these are movies and then you realize those are not what movies right. are.
Except for Shrek. That's what movies are.
Shrek is a 90s movie.
Isn't that 99? Was it 2001?
I thought it was early 2000s.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
All right, well, that's too much about movies. Let's get back to Section Z. Another person who's back, and I'm going to butcher it, it's Takashi Nishiyama. Okay?
Yeah.
You guys have no idea who he
back.
Is, right? Welcome back,
Welcome
Nishiyama.
Back, Takashi.
Yeah, he's the Trojan dude, guys, who went on to make Street Fighter 1 and then create Fatal Fury for SNK.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's got a huge thing going on. If you remember in the Trojan episode, Sean, the whole reason why that was a big deal was because Trojan kind of introduces the first battle game for Capcom.
Yeah.
You know, it had a two-player fight mode.
Yeah, and I think that's really great because I do like the trajectory that Capcom is going in, and especially this Takashi guy. Does he stay with Capcom?
He doesn't, actually.
Oh.
As I alluded to, he winds up making Fatal Fury for SNK.
Oh,
And he's actually still kind of in the scene even today, but he's primarily just making fighters, and I think he's you know, progressively getting more and more indie as it goes on. Like he's leaving niche. These companies and doing his own things. So that's my update on Nishiyama. I'm sure we'll hear from him again when Street Fighter 1 actually does come out for NES. And spoiler alert, I don't think that one's very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's just the first Street Fighter. It's nothing like Street Fighter 2.
Yeah,
Street
I never played Street Fighter 1. Yeah. But
wow, we can go a long time without talking about Section Z.
That's true.
Who wants to take me through kind of, you know, I'll give you the plot, and then you guys can tell me the objective, okay?
Okay.
All right, so for the uninformed, Section Z is set in an unspecified year during the third millennium. The player takes the role of an astronaut sent to infiltrate and destroy a space station orbiting near the Earth. It's actually a secret base of an alien empire known as the Balon Ghul.
All right, well, and what you do to move this plot forward is you infiltrate. And
yes.
Yeah, you move between sections, which are not alphabetized in this game.
We need to talk about that because it's called Section Z because you were supposed to go through 26 levels of A to Z. And that is true in the arcade version.
It is not true in the NES version. You are going to Section 1 and then 2.
There are no letters involved at all.
Yeah, I think it's like a, is there even like a symbol?
There are symbols at the end.
Yes.
Right.
But they're not like Roman numerals
right.
or
it's
anything.
Just like it's just an unknown rune.
And and the sections aren't even in order.
No,
like,
I mean,
you can go from
them.
Like 1 to 4 and then back to 2.
I mean, and that's cool that speaks to like its structure and level design, but it's an anachronism now. Like just the or it's a misnomer, whatever I'm talking about.
I like misnomer better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, you're flying around through these sections and you kind of, you know, you have to shoot, it's a shmup, you have to shoot down enemies. You have this cool new system where A is to shoot, like, forward and B is to shoot backwards.
Yeah.
And that's like, that makes you feel kind of like a badass.
It is
that was
cool.
Actually maybe the one thing that right away I was like, oh, I like these controls a lot because it the ability to just not have to, like, turn, to just be like, A is shoot to the right, B is shoot to the left. It just makes you feel so quick, so much like a badass.
It's the closest we can get to like a Smash TV sort of controller setting.
Yeah, it was weird because I read it in the manual first before playing the game, and I was like, huh, that's silly. Like, A to shoot in one direction, B to shoot in another, and then I was like, this
it's
is incredibly practical.
Yeah.
Like, how else would you have done it? I was thinking, like, oh, you could use the D-pad to solve that, but you really can't.
No,
like,
no you
gotta
move.
I mean, I think you could, but it would just be your movement would get in the way of when you wanted to shoot.
Like, yeah,
I mean,
like in on rails.
Commando? But anyway.
Yeah, Commando had that problem for sure. But I like this. And there's a way to kind of like manage enemies more so than in like a game like 1942. Because in 1942, you can only shoot forward. So when enemies kind of get around you and behind you, you have no way of taking them out. And so this kind of gives you an interesting spin on, you know, the idea that enemies will just keep spawning. So deal with them how you can.
Yeah.
And I don't think we mentioned that you're not in a spaceship. You're
it's like
just,
you in a jetpack.
Yeah, you kind of look cool too.
Yeah,
like the way you're hovering looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so here's what's crazy about that. That guy is supposed to be Captain Commando. Remember that guy we've been talking about all those times?
Yeah.
Where it's like Captain Commando Challenge Series and all these Capcom games? Well, now he's actually just in the game. They say that's Captain Commando. I don't buy it. Because they don't ever, outside of the manual reference, they don't ever show him. Like, it doesn't even look like the same build of a man. Like,
well, I mean, I think it adds to the mystique that you'll never know what he looks like because he's got this giant, like, mech suit on.
Yeah, but Captain Commando had, like, such a huge jaw. Like, you know, like something.
You can't see this guy's
jaw. I just
feel
like he needed a special helmet, you know? Like,
you needed a bigger
jaw. The crimson chin.
All right.
Yeah, he had, like, it wasn't Jay Leno jaw, but it was, like, it was up there in terms of, you know, 80s powerful dude jaws.
I think we need to get like in the show notes a top 5 80s powerful dude jaws.
Yeah, I think like you know Sylvester Stallone is up there.
I mean totally.
Yeah.
But Schwartz, where in the 5?
Yeah, Schwartz actually doesn't have that big of a jaw. If I'm thinking about his whole face is just kind of round. All right.
I have little to say. I was just listening. I was great. In awe.
Yeah. Everybody's in awe of the Schwartz.
Jawed.
No one calls him that, right? The Schwartz.
Nobody says that.
I'm talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger for the uninformed.
Of course.
Like, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, people might be like, I never heard of
him. You mean like Jim Schwartz? Or like...
I thought you were talking about the spoof on the Force in Spaceballs.
Oh, the Schwartz, yeah.
The Schwartz. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So that's that.
Moving on.
And now, you know, since we're talking about the gameplay and that we talked about at the end of each level, you have, like, these two choices, a path to go up or a path to go down, and that can either send you forward a few stages, forward one stage, backwards
But it
many
doesn't
stages.
Tell you yeah. any of it.
Yeah, I There's actually no had no idea if... If it would be the same if I went up and went down. At the time, it was like there was no... Yeah, I didn't know what my consequence or reward was for picking one or the other.
You didn't think it was apparent to you, though, that, like, the two were different.
It seemed, like, obvious that they were different, but then I would go and I'd be like, well, I don't know what would have happened the other way, so, like, I don't really know what I'm missing.
Well, there's an assumption that you will die and maybe choose a different door. So I think you will right. learn that.
Right, right.
To be honest, I didn't mind the whole, like, different door things, because I think it adds, like, one, if you're not the kind of player that's, like, writing down their path, it offers, like, a different way to play the game each time, because you're certainly gonna remember, like, what you did on the very first door. You're not gonna remember what you did on, like, the seventh yeah. door.
No, no.
Unless you wrote it down. Yeah. But then, like, there's also that cool, like, map-making component to it, where you could, you know, like, log down, like, okay, cool, so this is how I did it, but next time I'm gonna do it this route to figure out, like, which doors would get me to the end faster.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered to make a map, but that's also partly because this game is really hard.
Yeah, so we haven't talked about that
yet. I could not get far enough that making a map made sense.
Do you think that it was hard, like, right out the gate, or do you think that it
no,
got progressive?
Well, I mean, I think there's a really sharp learning curve, but the first level, it's almost impossible to die. I mean, it's just sort of like here, glide around a bit, hit these guys, and then jump into the base. And then the first base level is significantly harder.
But you would say that's where the game got challenging for you? Like,
no, I would say it got challenging maybe on, like, the next one. Because to me, it was, like, exponentially harder each time.
I saw the difficulty spike when I got to the first, like, mini-boss.
Okay.
When I got to the first mini-boss, that's when... Because he's shooting two different types of projectiles. One that's, like, just one that kind of...
Like a bullet.
Right. Yeah, like a bullet at the screen. And then the other ones are, like, heat-seeking missiles at you. Like yeah. they're, like, these bubbles that will just attract to you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out a way around that.
I agree, but I did have a... My strategy for that was... Because you have two little platforms, one on the top, one on the bottom, that you
yes,
kind of use
just
as
for
a
the
shield.
First mini boss. Each mini boss okay, does have
yeah,
a different layout.
Is, yeah, right now I'm just talking about the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll shoot at you, or it's just like a ball. It shoots at you, and I would just hide under the bottom one, fly up real fast to the top one, and then, like, I'd have to just kind of watch where the ball's following me and get it to run into the top. And I would do that over and over again, get one or two shots in every time. And it
oh,
took
wow.
me forever,
yeah.
but I was able to beat it. But, yeah, I also noticed a major difficulty spike at that point.
Yeah, I think that from, like, it wasn't like I died on the mini-boss. I think that's just where I noticed, like, oh, wow, this game is a lot harder than it made itself seem, like, just 2 minutes mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah, and it's deceiving because the controls are so one-to-one, and I think that this game does have really good controls. It's that same, I mean, we've touched upon it before, where it seems like a deserved failure when you die. Sometimes it's just overwhelming.
Well, I was going to say, okay, so I do think I agree with you on the deserved part. Like,
yeah.
you know, you realize that you've deserved it, except for this one idea that, like, if you come in contact with an enemy,
that's true.
You should
yeah.
auto die.
I'm
like,
not a fan.
What is
of
the point of having energy and health
yeah.
bars? If,
it's just
if
for bullets.
Just, yeah, if at the end of, like, touching something, like, why is this is just a problem I have in NES games and games that do one hit kills in general. It's like, why are they always able to kill me? Why isn't there, like, an opportunity for me to just, like, punch that guy in the face and take him down instead?
Or just, like, maybe they have the same impact weakness that you do. So
right.
that, like, maybe they can die once in a while.
I think it would just be nice, a nice little
yeah.
variety, but I guarantee you no NES game programmed it that way.
No.
Where sometimes you're the one-hit kill, and sometimes you
oh,
get
that would actually
hit.
Be
Didn't
really
we,
frustrating.
Was it, did Mach Rider do something like that? Where sometimes you would knock someone down, sometimes they would knock you down?
Well, I mean, if you collided with anything, that was just it.
Was it?
You would blow up.
Yeah.
yeah.
At least if it was head on. If you just grazed it, you could bounce
that's
off.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, from the side. Yeah, true. You can do from the side. You would bounce off, and I think you could even, you know, if you were good enough at the game, you could anticipate like a shove in Mach Rider to shove them over to the barrels.
Oh yeah, I did some of that. Was fun.
That would be really.
But
cool.
This is not the Mach Rider nostalgia hour.
Absolutely not.
We just want to see how many times we can talk about something else.
A different mechanic in the game that I rarely used just because it was kind of complicated and didn't work every time. When you push A and B together to get that missile to spawn in the middle of the stage, like glows, and then you have missiles for like a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I used it a couple times, but I was always too focused on just trying to shoot things.
I didn't see myself having an opportunity to be like, you know what, now I could really use the missile for what's coming up ahead. Like, I'd rather just focus on where things are coming at me.
I kind of forgot the missile was even there. I was too busy trying to not die.
Especially because you do get power-ups in the game. And I think that those power-ups are pretty useful.
Yeah, it does make your gun look pretty sweet.
I think there's like four or five, but there's like one that is just a combination of two of them. And it's the one I really want, but I think you need both prior to get that one. And I think they have like mega names or something like that. It's
mega
like,
names?
Like each one's like the Mega Buster or the Mega Doomer.
Okay.
Or like, you know,
the Doomer.
I'm making that up. Those are not the titles, but I couldn't be bothered to look them back up.
Yeah.
Because... to be honest, this is, you know, we're talking about, like, the gameplay and stuff like that, but I didn't want to get too into the difficulty right away because it just, it does get so hard after a while that I didn't feel encouraged, especially because when you die, like, all everything, you get flown back to the beginning of the section and you have to start all over.
Right. That is part of, like, okay, I don't truly understand what gives you like a regular game over screen and what makes you fly back to the beginning of the, like, sometimes I would just die and restart, and then sometimes I would die and start outside the base again. And do you know what that was? Like, I ran out of lives both times.
I think I always died and just started from the beginning.
You never saw the fly
back? Doesn't it fly you back to the beginning?
It flies you back, yeah. But then you have a certain amount of lives. And then there's a game over.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But it still flies you right back to the very beginning.
So you get like one continue or something.
Yeah, you get like one continue.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. But I mean, like, a cool mechanic.
Yeah.
In practice, but the checkpoints are too far out for a game this hard. You have to get to section 19 and defeat the boss to get to section, I guess, like 20 would be next, to get to section 20. And then that's like, if you die from that point on, you'll just get blown back to section 20.
How many are there? Are there 60?
There are way too many levels in this game.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There are 60 in the NES.
There's three checkpoints, I'm assuming, if it's on every 20.
19.
Which I did not get to a checkpoint.
Neither did I. I actually just assumed, like, okay, it's numbered now. It's not 26 levels. They added levels, so this makes sense. I thought maybe there'd be 30 levels.
To be honest, I was expecting the 26 still.
Just to end at 26?
Just to end at 26. Be like, oh, well, that's how many letters in the alphabet, like, and that would be section Z. I didn't know that they changed it. Like, I didn't look at the arcade first, so I didn't know that they had changed it yet. I just assumed, okay, 26 sections.
But... so what happened then was, like, okay, I exhausted my ability to play the game. I was, in some parts I was frustrated, in some parts I was just bored, but I did enjoy a lot of the time that I was playing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I want to see what else this game has to offer. I will watch a speed run of this game. The speed run for this game is 40 minutes long.
That's crazy.
And it is like 60, it's 60 levels, and they all are pretty long, like, levels.
Right, and it's kind of crazy because in an NES game, usually the speed runs aren't that long.
No.
But also, there's really no way to do it faster because you are at the mercy of the screen.
Yeah.
And at the very not to get on a tangent, but at the very beginning, at the very start, you're going real fast. And then they're like, nah, just kidding. We're going to
That's because you're outside, though.
There are moments in the game where, you, like, later while you're in the base that you go that fast, but they're pre...
No, yeah, those are, like Section 5, for instance, is one where it's like, you know, hey, you picked the right room. Like, you can just skip right through this and go to the next stage. Whereas, like, the other option, I think, would send you to Section 8 that would give you, like, a cool power-up if you found it. But otherwise, you have to fight, like, a bunch of enemies.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have something that you would like to talk about, I just wanted to move on to where I think the length is really hurts the game.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I don't think that it's impossible for a game to feel worthy of that kind of length, especially in the NES time, but the lack of variety in the kinds of bosses you fight. The enemies, it doesn't seem to warrant being that long, aside from just like, here's a new pattern, I guess. Like, it just seems like different permutations of the same enemies, and then you get the same boss.
It definitely feels like they made it longer, knowing that the arcade version is only the 26 levels. It does feel like they made it longer just because it's a console game and they wanted, you know, you to hold on to it longer and have more to play.
Kind of like they did that just by spreading it out, not adding new stuff, taking what was there and like duplicating it
it would have been cool as like a sense of accomplishment though to split that into like a game A and game B hey, cool, you beat the easy mode, now play the hard
now
mode,
play endurance mode
right, something different. Let me ask you guys, would you have preferred a linear path, or was the choice thing like a cool mechanic that you didn't mind?
If I'm being totally honest, I don't think I played this long enough to appreciate the fact that there are choices. But like, as you guys were saying too, it is cool to be able to take a different path. I mean, I think just for a game like this in general, I guess I would go multiple paths as long as it didn't like hinder the level design. If the level design gets sloppy because they're making too many paths, then of course.
Right. And I do think sometimes the level design gets sloppy because you go down like some wrong ones later on and you get punished pretty hard. You get sent back pretty far. And I don't think that that's like the appropriate way to hurt the player at that stage in the game. Like they've made it, they've been playing for that long and then you send them back a little further. I don't think that's the way to do it. But I just want to talk to you real fast, Joe, because you were saying that even though you only play for a little bit of time, did you not feel a sense of choice when you were going through the quarters?
I didn't. I mean, I you know, obviously there's two paths, but I didn't, when I went through, I guess I didn't expect the other path to be that different.
Gotcha.
Because it was, I was still new to the game too, so I wasn't sure what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I wasn't giving enough credit, but like, are the paths that different?
They are. I mean, because you can skip entire portions of the game. And I think that's why I do like that, because a player that really enjoys playing this game and has played it a lot will eventually find an optimal path, or at least the path that they find the most enjoyment out of.
I am a fan of the choice thing, and I would have liked to have seen it in even like other genres.
Well, it's kind of, I think what Joe was saying is he felt that it was more like in Mach Rider, how you can pick like one of the two spaghetti strands, and they just sort of like feel the same,
right.
But we know that they're different tracks.
Yes,
that is kind of what, without having gone back to choose different routes to like back up the fact that it would feel the same, that was just my gut feeling. It was like, what am I really picking here?
Okay. One other question. Is the protagonist too big for the stage? I felt like he was a little big.
I mean, I can see why you'd say that. I think he was an appropriate size. I mean, maybe he bumps into
too much. Hard to dodge after a while if too many enemies are on the screen because of the size.
Oh, I definitely found it was hard, but I don't know if I would have done any better if he was smaller.
I felt like I could have slipped through a little more.
I guess now that you mentioned it to me, not even on a gameplay level, just on a like, what are we fighting? Because you're kind of fighting spaceships, right?
Yeah, you're fighting weird like mechanical objects. Yeah.
There's even turrets that they were too. Spaceships. Yeah, you're right. The turrets are like the size of like
of your leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so then I was thinking, like, I guess now if I'm looking back on it, like, who's, there's nobody in those spaceships because they're smaller.
Well,
than
yeah, the robots,
the tiny little robots.
Yeah,
gotcha.
What did we think of those that intro and the cutscenes?
Well, they're only like two cutscenes, three if you include the, like, you fucked up cutscene.
Right.
but, like, I don't know, they look nice.
I thought they looked really nice. Like, yeah. I actually appreciated that pixel art. And there was some good world building at the very start, you know? Like seeing your character kind of like...
Is that world building?
I think it's at least, like, giving me a sense of purpose in
yeah,
this game.
Purpose,
like,
context, sure. Yeah, right. I gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry, not world building. I guess more like... You know, at least there's some lore to this rather than just like, even the fact that you don't start inside the base is kind of cool. If we're being honest, you know, like it did. Yes, everything gameplay wise didn't work out so well here. Mm-hmm. But I think that they did do some cool things to make some nice touches and make it feel like a little more, you know,
like an adventure.
Yeah, adventure. Yeah. I don't want to say cinematic because it didn't feel cinematic. But yeah, adventure feels like the right word. You are going on a journey, not the Rygar style.
Not quite as grand.
you do some stuff.
But yeah. I do think that it would have now just marrying that idea with, again, the idea of the multiple paths, I think it would have been kind of cool to have the multiple paths if there were like secret unlockable power-ups on certain paths that are buried in there. Oh,
there are.
Well, there you go.
Boy,
it's
do I have
a
game
come
for
true.
You. It's called Section Z. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the stuff that the casual player is not going to find, but it will reward the other players that seek it out. There are, like, you know, if you go into a certain section, that's the only place that you're going to find, you know, like, this power-up for a while. Or it's like, do you remember there were, like, those... like circular tubes that were like, they were like purple.
Yeah.
If you stand over some of those, they will form like an entrance for you and you'll get sucked into like a mini stage.
Oh.
And then in there, there'll either be like some enemies to clear out or a new weapon. Yeah, some new power-ups. Like, so it's there. But what's really strange about that is that you do have to stand on those platforms. It's not just going to like... show itself, be like, hey,
because
you found the right
over it.
Yeah. It's gonna be like, hey, found the right thing. It's like, nope, you have to look for it.
I do think it's a good talking about standing. I think it's a cool touch that if you are low enough to the ground, you will just like plant your feet.
Yeah.
And actually walk. There's a walk animation.
You walk
cool.
and stuff. And I know that that's not like, oh, it's so advanced. Like, no, it's just cool. I don't know.
They definitely didn't have to program that.
No, you could have just hovered.
Yeah, exactly. And there was also those cyst looking creatures that if you shot them, they would give you power ups too. So there were a couple different ways to get power ups, and I think that, you know, that's not my problem. Thankfully, this is not a Metroidvania style game where you have to like explore the sections, find the power ups to get further on. Because imagining a Metroidvania shmup is just no, thank you. The shmup genre is hard enough as is, and you know has its share of fans. I don't think we need that. But if there was going to be a mechanic or an item added to this game, what would you guys add?
I think the easy answer for me is just more save points,
Seriously, would you have preferred a save point thing maybe where it's like a certain section is just a place to save and maybe like recover some health?
Yeah, or even if there's a challenge aspect to it, it's like, you know, there's this one enemy that's hard to beat, you can just pass it, but like if you beat this enemy, it's a checkpoint. Or something.
That's kind
of
cool.
Some way to...
In
to
a way
it,
that is the bosses, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but you have to beat the boss no matter what.
Stage 19, it's like you... I see what you're saying. You're kind of asking for optional save points throughout that require some sense of skill, but then reward
the player
for doing
that. It's like a risk versus reward thing. I'm only saying that to what's the phrase I'm looking for? To find a happy medium or split the difference between what they've given us and what I want, which is more save points.
Yeah, but I think you've actually struck that because that is like that is something I could see them actually implementing, knowing like how the rest of the game goes in sense of like, hey, you might find these things along the way, but also the game is completely playable with you just never picking up a power up, never doing. I mean, like it's incredibly hard and stupid, but it is playable. You could theoretically just defeat the final boss by shooting your little laser at it like 1,000 times.
I think that my feature, again, it's, I guess, something to make it a little easier, but also to add another layer of like of depth and like a skill ceiling. Because you were saying that there, if you touch an enemy or certain projectiles, because I guess they count as solid, you'll just die. I think like, and it's tricky with the NES controller because there are only so many inputs, but if maybe you were able to press the shoot button and the directional button in like the direction of the enemy or the object, like you could do like a parry thing where it would be like a melee attack.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would have to be like something that required precision so that you can just spam it.
Reminds me of kind of what they did in Metroid Samus Returns for 3DS, where they added melee to her arsenal, so this way she can actually fight back the creatures that try to attack her. Yeah. Obviously different because she's not floating through space, but like, you know, same idea. I'll say this. I think it would be really cool if instead of like having the power-ups be something you find and then like, you know, you activate them, and once you activate them, if you want a different one, then you'll lose that other power-up. I think it would have been kind of cool to like spread the power-ups out a little more, and then instead have the power-ups be like choosable through the select option. So like, okay, you know, it's like once you found, you know, and this weapon's not even in the game, but just imagine if they added more of those. It's like once you found the ice beam, now you can freeze enemies in their tracks, you know, and it's like it doesn't kill them and they will eventually defrost, so you'll want to, you know, also shoot them with the other weapons. So it's kind of like toggling all your different weapons. I feel like that would have been a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I think that would add another layer of depth to the game as well.
Also, open world.
Open world, yeah. Open,
3D open world.
3D open world, yeah, MMO, just, RPG. Also, it should have a battle royale as well. It should be battle royale shmup.
Well, can we do that?
I feel like yeah.
You need a lot of people. There should have to be tons of players in there.
I want to talk about the arcade differences and get your guys' reaction on this, because we talked about how this was a pretty hard game, and I'd like to see if you would have preferred the arcade version or said, no, they made the right changes here. So I'll say right off the bat, it's practically a different game. I did play the arcade one, and it controls differently in the sense that A and B don't work like that. Instead, A changes your direction, and B is your shoot button. So you have to click an entire button just to change to which sides, and then you shoot with a totally different button.
I feel like what they did with the NES game was getting around, Sean, what you were talking about with Commando and stuff, I'm just getting around the thing that most games at this time had a problem with, was that your turning in one direction was also made you move in that direction.
Yeah.
I feel like this arcade controller is... like took a step towards getting around that problem, but then like put it back.
Yeah.
With like, oh, but here's another button that gives you the same problem.
Then the arcade version came first, so it's kind of funny to think that Capcom had like this eureka moment where they were like, oh, you don't need separate buttons. You can just both do the same thing. So, you know, that's one thing that's different in the arcade version. The other is that there are 5 stages and 5 sections, and then the final boss stage. So there's only 26 stages instead of 60.
Yeah.
We cool with that?
I prefer I think that if they put more variety in those 26 levels and they kept the difficulty, it would still feel like a complete game. Because again, we couldn't get to 20.
Yeah, so. I definitely couldn't get to 26. Automatic death when hit by fire. And what I want to say to that is there is no energy whatsoever. Everything is a one-hit kill.
Wow.
Everything. There's none of that energy meter stuff.
I mean, that makes sense because of the quarter-eating element of arcades, but I definitely wouldn't want that on my NES.
I feel like if you were playing this in the arcade and you picked it up on the NES, you're going to be a monster at this game. Yeah. Like, it's like you can swing in with 3 bats. Like.
Right. And then last, the Famicom Disk System version, the kids in Japan are laughing at us because, of course, just like every other Famicom Disk game, this bad boy can save.
Yeah.
At any section, at any moment, and
at any
moment. Sorry, no, I don't. Any moment.
Like save states, like,
yeah. No, that's cheating. no, but yes, it can save at different sections, and so there's no risk of like, oh, I gotta wait till section 19. Like,
right.
The one thing that I will say that I prefer the NES version over the arcade version is, because I did watch a little bit of the arcade version, so I couldn't get a handle on like how it felt.
Okay.
But I do think it has a more cohesive look to it on the NES.
I was
going
to say that, yeah.
On the arcade, it just sort of looks like a bunch of... I mean, I'm not going to say...
it's not Atari-style, like 20, like those old arcade
games.
No,
it's not like that, but and I'm not going to say that they just used a bunch of, like, free assets to create everything, but it doesn't have, like, it doesn't thematically look like the backgrounds and the foregrounds look like they're in the same game.
Yeah, I think this is maybe our first instance of getting, and maybe it's just because it's so different, of getting a better game on the NES than in the arcade.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I think that, you know, even just because there's so many differences, that's why it's better. Because we've seen a lot of times, even games we really like, we go and play the arcade versions of them, and we're like, oh, well, the arcade version was better. But, like, in this instance, I'm not totally on board for that.
And I know that, like, there's better effects, and it's got a higher pixel count than the arcade, but it doesn't feel the same.
And so Section Z did kind of get like two more games, but I don't think they're on NES, and they're just kind of like they're loosely tied together. I think it's more of just like these two games also came from Capcom and involve those kind of same elements, and that's Sidearms and Forgotten Worlds. We'll probably never play them.
Okay.
I just, you know, like if we ever get that far in our chronological. We have to die someday, Sean.
No.
All right. I think it's time Joe to have a thought.
A stray thought. I'm really not. I've never been seriously thinking about making this a thing, but I have to talk about the pause sound, because the pause sound in this game actually is wild.
please describe.
I can't even describe it because I can't fully. There's too many notes in it. I can't remember it. Can you play it here?
I'll play it here.
Now, wasn't that wild? I
don't remember it, so I'm gonna have to now like listen to the episode and tweet my comments.
I thought it was funny because I'm always like joking about the pause sound, and then I was kind of like, I kind of got to mention this pause sound. Yeah. This one's like actually over the top.
I think
Joe's pause sound corner.
I want that to be like an article, like an updated article that you just kind of like every now and again when you notice pause sounds. I don't want to hear
I'm not gonna do
every
it
single pause
course.
Sound. I just want the ones that you've like. Hey, you know, I noticed this one.
Yeah, right. And that's right. My stray thought.
Yeah. So you found yourself pausing a lot.
Only it was actually just when I was done, when I was about to shut it off. I like paused
done.
It and I was like, oh shit. Good pause.
Whoa, you can pause.
I like this game now.
You also that means you also found out you could pause right then and there.
That's right.
Certain
I hadn't
games
paused
it's like
before.
I don't think that you could pause.
I mean, every game I've tried to pause and I've been able to pause. So
volleyball
far.
Had restrictions.
Oh,
like
yes, they did. Oh, yeah.
Timeouts.
I knew somebody could save me for saying something dumb.
I got your back.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I think now we can go into the essential games list. So last time we recorded an episode, I said I wasn't going to say, all right, guys, it's time for the essential games list, and I have something different prepared, but I don't. There's really, like, no way to, like, go right into it. So instead, Sean, I'd like you to get right into it with your vote.
All right. Well, I think that this is a – I enjoyed playing this game for the most part. One thing our listeners might notice is that I don't take – difficulty very well on first impressions. I get frustrated pretty easily, but I don't think that's not a knock on the game. I think that the game is way too long for its own good. I did praise its aesthetic, but I also think that a lot of the environments are kind of samey. There's only so much you can do with like the three or four, I don't know, like tile sets that they were using. I think that the monster design or like just the enemy design had a lot to there was a lot like on the table there. I think they could have done with it, but it was just like turrets and a couple like spider thingies, and that was about it for me. I think that they could have done a lot more to spice this game up, but at its core, it is an enjoyable game. It's not a pass. Definitely play this game, but I don't find this game essential.
Joe.
I think the good things about this game, which maybe we didn't talk about this enough, is that I think the controls, especially with the A and B, are really cool, and it feels really good, and it feels responsive, and it feels fast, and you feel like a badass. And that actually like made me really enjoy this game at the beginning. But it is a little too repetitive for how long it is, and just long in general, that after a while, it gets boring. Or, I mean, I don't want to say boring.
Stale?
It gets stale, exactly. Well, I was never yawning while I was playing it, but yeah. I was just like, I don't know if I care enough to finish this game.
One thing I would like to just jump in, sure. Piggyback off you, is I think the music in this game is really good, but because and like the music also isn't just like an 8-bar loop, it actually has some musical progression to it too. But there are only like 4 songs, and you're going to be hearing those 4 songs a lot. So in the same vein of like...
For 60 levels, yeah. You think they could have had more than 4 songs.
Yeah, there's right. good stuff, but it's too repetitive.
Right. Yeah, I think that kind of sums up my thoughts overall.
So what's your vote?
There were some cool things. Wasn't quite enough to keep me entertained. Not essential, but I'd say play it.
Okay. There were entire minutes where I had fun playing this game. and I don't mean that as like a dig, because there are certain NES games where I never had fun to begin with. I can list like 5 already, and we're only on game like 50-something. So for me, it's not that... it's not that this game is bad, and I agree, this game isn't boring. I think, like, for the right person, this could be a very, very fun game, and if you're the kind of guy who enjoys, like, a challenging shmup, early shmup, too, like, it's not the kind of shmups we think about today. For me, there's not enough to this game. It has the 1942 problem, where like, oh, this is a really cool concept, and then I've seen everything I need to see very fast, and there's no sense of, like, you know, progression as a character, even. Like I said, I would have loved to have some more power-ups, or even, like, some, you know, it doesn't, not every game has to have these RPG elements.
No.
But it certainly helps, especially when looking it through it, like, today's lens, it certainly helps to make it feel like the game is growing as you play it. And with this one, I just kind of felt like, you know, if the game started mild, it pretty much went mild throughout, you know? Like, it didn't really pick up or get any more exciting than the very first instant, you know, with that awesome cutscene.
Yeah.
So for me, not essential. I don't know if I'd say play it. I think if you're a shmup fan, play it for sure. I think this one has like a neat control concept that every shmup person should try out, just because it's a different way to tackle that genre. But I don't know if I'd say play this to most people. I think this one you can pass.
All right. Cool.
One last thing I wanted to talk about before we end this episode, though.
T-shirts.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
T-shirts?
Yeah, just plain white t-shirts we're now selling on nostalgicast.com.
Hanes plain white t-shirts. We got a great deal out of the back of a van, and I just figured let's sell them. No, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking to Sean for a minute, because you mentioned that you, a lot of times, you don't like very difficult games, and you think it shows on the podcast. So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you need to be good at video games to host a video game podcast?
I don't think so. Only because we've been doing it for a while, and I would consider at least you a host.
Okay.
I think I've overstated that, like, difficulty rubs me the wrong way, but like when we have the volume of games, this is sort of like a behind the scenes thing. When we have the volume of games that we play for the show and are playing like for our own enjoyment that may not have come out on the NES,
right?
It just like it gets frustrating when I can only get past a couple levels. I need that to color my commentary.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Joe, different question.
Sure.
Do you have to be good at games to review them?
I don't know if you have to be. I mean, I think you should be able to play games. Like, you shouldn't give it to, like, you know, one of your parents that has to say, like, how do I go?
Aunt Kathy shouldn't be playing.
But also, like, most people who are going to play the game aren't going to be amazing at the game. I mean, you want it from a perspective, I think, of someone that's just kind of like that appreciates the game and learns it as they're playing and maybe gets good, maybe doesn't.
Imagine if only amazingly talented players played and reviewed Dark Souls. Like if no one told you that it was hard, you know?
Yeah.
Like we need a review for that game where someone just says like, yeah, you know what? And I couldn't finish it, and you probably won't either.
Right.
You know?
I mean, that's how I feel about like Bloodborne. Like, I love that game, but I still have not finished that game.
Like, even for me, I mean, anyone that's listening and anyone in this room would kick my ass in Super Smash Brothers. Like, I'm just terrible at Super Smash Brothers. I don't play it that often. I don't have a
Nintendo
system. But I love Super Smash Brothers. I play it, and I'm like, this is fun. And, like, you know, I'm sure if I played it a lot, I'd be a lot better at it. But, like, I don't play it a lot, but I can still pick it up and decide that it's a good game, even though most people are better than me at it.
I think that's a great point. And what it comes down to is it's just like everybody plays games differently. And, you know, the cool thing about that is because everybody plays the games differently, you get 100 different perspectives. It's like, don't come to just us for Section Z thoughts. Like, do you know how many like cool web blogs are out there writing up stuff about Section Z as well? Like, check out all these weird thoughts and then play it yourself and think about like, what did you think? You know?
Oh, wow, this is a really pay it forward moment for you, Mike.
Maybe. But if you do have thoughts on what, you know, on the game and stuff like that, I'd love to hear them. And you can let us know at contact@nostalgiacast.com. Got a hint for you. That's also our website, nostalgiacast.com. And if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's @nostalgiacast. Maybe.
Uh-oh.
I think we might just be at Nostalgia.
Try both.
Yeah. Type in Nostalgia with the N-E-S. Like, you're not going to get anybody else. I didn't pay for it, but at the same time, I do have it. So it was a freebie. So one thing I did pay for is the website. And that's why you should go there and just check it out and be like, wow, some guy paid money to host this kind of content.
Like, get some value out of it. Like, it's just sitting there. Like,
yep. And we don't mention who built our websites because we're not sponsored by anybody. So if you would like to know who built our website, have them sponsor us.
Yeah.
And we'll list their name out on the...
Would you like to sponsor us?
Yeah. Sponsor a dog. Why don't... You know, like it's...
yeah, you could do that
shelters,
too.
In shelters, you know? Yeah. I don't need the dog food. Give that to the dog.
Yeah. But I
stop
will
sending us dog food.
Pat.
Yeah, Gary.
Oh, Gary's been sending it too? Yeah. Yeah, but if you wanted to send me e-dog food, that would be contact@nostalgiacast.com.
Contact
if you wanted to find
Neopets.
Out which video games are haunted, you go to nostalgiacast.com. And if you want to talk to me personally, I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.